This sound was recorded on May 2nd, 1964, medium Leslie French.
Take your word for it.
Hey?
Take your word for it.
Well, I feel a lot better than I did a few weeks ago.
Yes, you were under the weather, weren't
you? Yes, I know. I think everybody was.
What you need is a nice holiday in the sunshine. What about, where are you going to Italy?
Oh.
Well, you ought to be able to manage it.
Eh?
You ought to be able to manage it.
Should I? Bought a tape recorder about 3 or 4 weeks ago, dear.
Well, you know, one of those package tours, you know, it's all inclusive.
Oh,
15 days.
I couldn't go with a gambler.
Why?
I don't know, but...
Can you do the world of good?
Probably, but I don't think I could. When I was in Rome, I saw people all charging about together and... Well...
Why don't you go with the Crawford girls?
Eh? Oh my goodness me.
They're going to Italy, aren't they?
Are they?
Well, no. I understand so.
Oh yes, no dear, I'm sorry. I like things in small doses, not in large
to get you off on a holiday.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
What about you and Minetta then?
Hmm?
You went with Lynn, wouldn't you?
Oh, I wouldn't mind going with her, no. But she doesn't appear to be thinking of going anywhere either, so.
Has she? I wonder why.
I don't know. She's no desire to go back to Castellaneta with them.
I thought she was nuts about it.
Yes, I know, but...
People do change, don't they?
I can't understand her attitude at all. I would have thought she would have wanted to continue going there, but... Seems strange. Italy, I'd like to go probably to Capri or somewhere there and just wander about. Well, I've very little to do for a few days and, you know, just relax. These tours, they go charging about from one town to another. Oh dear.
Not good for you then, eh?
No, I'm sorry, no.
Why?
Why? Why?
Dying to get you off somewhere.
Well, Mickey, because I don't seem to take an awful lot of pleasure when I'm with a lot of people. And I suppose I've been a lonely bird all my life. When I had my mother and I, we used to go places and that. I can go with 2 or 3 people that I like very much, but this idea of going with a lot of people I don't know and charging about and keeping to a tight schedule all the time from one place to another, it would frighten me to death.
Mother?
Hmm.
Why?
Is that again? I don't know why, Mickey. I'm just made up, I suppose. I like to stop and look at beauty when I see it, not just give a quick glance at it and then fly off to something else and give another glance at something else. That's not my way at all.
Hello.
Hello.
Someone is trying to persuade you to go back to Italy.
Oh, I'll go all right, dear, but not with a tour.
No, you want to go with the boys.
Eh?
You wish to go with the boys.
That's right.
I know you.
Yes.
You don't want to go with a lot of strange people. You want to go with people that you like and people that are interested in the same things as you are interested in.
That's right.
Which is all very natural. But nevertheless, it would be very nice for you to have a little vacation. You know, you should have a vacation. It is very necessary.
I hadn't thought of it.
Even if it is only a week by the sea, you know, it would do you the world of good. I think you've had a very bad winter. You know, it has not been very easy. The weather, everything, I think few days or a week at least in the sun by the seaside would do you a lot of good.
Where do you suggest I go?
I don't know. I'd like you to go somewhere very nice. I don't know. I'd like very much for you to go to Italy, but you'd need more than a week, and of course it would cost money.
Well, I could go for a fortnight, but...
Why don't you go then?
I don't know, but I think the cash salad, I know it sounds dreadful talking about cash, but it's...
You should be like I used to be.
What's that?
Do it and worry about it afterwards. Always tomorrow. More will come.
Yes, I know.
No, seriously. It would be very nice, I think, for you to have some kind of a holiday. I think you should try and do something about it. It is very necessary for you to have a change and a rest. Anyway, you must see what you can arrange.
All right.
Well, how are you, apart from... You are much better.
Oh, I'm a lot better than I was, yes.
And how is our friend Marie?
Well, she seems to be going along very well.
Well, she is a wonderful woman for her age, I think, and she is a very brave woman. I admire her very much. She's a very brave woman, you know. For
yes.
her to come to such reduced circumstances and everything that has happened to her the last few years has not been very easy. It has been very difficult, but she has carried it off. You know, beautifully, she has a wonderful
spirit, really.
Yes, spirit. She has a very good spirit. I admire her very much for that.
I think she's come through now, because when she leaves this nursing home, I think things will be a lot easier for her. Her family seem to have taken her in hand.
I think it can only be a very short time. I doubt if she will somehow ever reach this nursing home that has been talked about. She may, it is possible, she may, of course, but it is a miracle to me. I think it cannot be very long now before she comes over here.
Mm-hmm.
It would be best for her too. I admire her very much. She is a remarkable woman. And you're quite a remarkable girl yourself.
Am I?
A woman. I don't think of you as a grown-up woman. I don't know why.
I don't act like one at times.
You are still very much a girl. How is Lynette? I expect she will be coming to talk to me very soon. It seems strange perhaps for me to ask you how she is. I know how she is in a way that... It's the same with you, I suppose. But the point is that I see things so differently, and it is always interesting to have other people's opinion, because you see more, perhaps, on the material than I do. She seems quite well, anyway.
Yes, I think she seems
well. I still have hope for her, Sakun. I hope she will not lose heart, because it has been a long time. I think she will have good results eventually. I think there is definite improvement there. Of course, you know, it is a pity for me, I think, that you don't yourself join a circle or do something in that way. But I suppose it is not possible.
Well, can you suggest any circle that I could
visit? No, I don't know of anyone in particular, unless it were Linette's circle.
Oh, well, I don't. I couldn't very well go into that. Could I?
I don't know why you could not. I should have thought you would be the admirable choice. If anyone were to be chosen to join a circle, her certainly in particular, because the link and the interest is the same, you know, but possibly she feels it is best to stay as it is, just a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is that I think, in any case, perhaps you have too much to do now. You have no time to give up for other things.
Well, I could,
what
if you
your
would be
what
advantage.
Were your recordings and everything, and now you are doing this other work. What is the object of that? For a book, I suppose.
That's
all the data.
That's
for a book in the future.
That's right.
What an extraordinary character you are. I should have thought everything has been written about me that could be written. So many different books. Most
yes,
of them have factual basis. And some of them have a certain amount of untruth, but that is expected, I suppose. How can anyone hope to write about someone they know nothing about?
No, the only thing is if I can get all these facts together, they can be dissected and find out whether they are facts or they're just imagination. By cross-reference, I might be able to get down to the fundamental.
Anyway, it is very interesting for you. You have spent a lot of time at it already. When are you going to do some housework?
Well, that has to slide, Rudy, sometimes, because after all, it's a material thing that if it has to slide a little bit, what you do today, you have to do tomorrow. So if I spend all my time cleaning and messing about at home, I never get anything else done.
I must say you are constantly doing something, or running here, or doing this or that. And it's usually in some way associated with me. It seems that your life has become extremely busy. You've become very, very active. And so many friends now, many contacts, which is good. I'm happy for you because it is good for you to have all these interests. And I think the way you have concerned yourself with Marie is wonderful. I think you have been remarkably good there. I'm sure she thinks of that, and I'm sure she will appreciate it and show her appreciation in a tangible way. Not that you are thinking of that, but it would be nice and it will come. I would like very much for you to have some recompense, and I know what that will be and what you would wish.
Thank you, Rudy.
But that will come in its own time. I wish you could get Beaucaire, because I know how much you are concerned with it.
Yes, I know.
It seems very elusive. Mm-hmm. Just when we think we have arranged it, something goes on. Still, it will come. Of that I am quite sure, eventually, and others too. We must not lose heart for that. Mm-hmm. In a way, I am not terribly interested, but I know how interested you are, and the medium is, and what pleasure it will give to the others. And for that, I would like for you to have very much the films.
Yes, I know. You were talking a little while ago about me joining a circle. there's no hope that I might develop in any way, is there?
Well, possibly. In a way, I think you will. I think you will, apart from a circle, in any case. I think it is that your sensitivity will become much more strong, more powerful. You'll be more conscious of communication of a mental nature. That I have been doing for some time with you, from time to time. I've tried to give you impressions and little things, which I think you have picked up very well. But of course the thing is to, sometimes, it's a little difficult perhaps, but
yes.
To be sure, you know, within yourself. In any case, I think you have done quite well in that respect. Well, what? What were you
well,
going to say? Well, what?
Very often I think that I am in contact, and then I sometimes wonder, come back to the wondering whether it's all imagination. You know, when you've been associated with a person like I have with you over so many, many years, it's quite possible it can be a sort of imagination.
Well, of course, that is something you have got to guard against, because obviously everything cannot be connected with me. I mean, not of my own influence.
No.
But I don't think, when there is something that is very definite, that you could have any doubts about it. Because when I do something, when I impress or try to do something, it is and will be very definite, you know, there will be no sort of, well, it might be. In my own way, I like to do these things, and I think that you will see for yourself how very accurate it can be, you know.
Yes.
How are the recordings being accepted? Very well.
Well, they seem to be very accepted very well. But, I'd like you to give me something else to go on with a little bit now, because I can't keep playing the same recordings all the time. So I'd like a little more philosophy or teaching.
Oh.
Game.
All right. Sometimes I like to just talk and be,
yes,
you know, ordinary things that interest both of you, but...
Well, it's up to you, Ruby, whatever you wish.
What puzzles me is the attitude that many people have towards this subject, because the very basis of all truth, religious truth, is life after so-called death. Therefore, it always amazes me that there could be this prejudice. Indeed, the whole history of life, the whole history of religions, no matter what religion it may be, there is this fundamental truth of communication between the so-called living and the so-called dead. Without it, there could be no religion. There would be no purpose in religion anyway. And therefore it amazes me very much when there is opposition, when people say, oh, I don't believe that, it is not possible. And they don't seem to understand the very basis of their own particular brand of religion is based on the assumption that there is a life after death, the realization that there is a life after death. If it were not for people who have written and who have communicated and made themselves known to people on earth, there could be no religion of any description. Man's underlying desire for knowledge, for the realization of something beyond your world, in itself, you would have thought, would have made the vast majority, if not all people, desire to find out, to seek. It has been said to knock and it will be opened unto you, and yet you have people all the time who quibble about it, and yet they can put nothing in its place. They accept blindly, by faith, you might say, so much. But when it comes to actual possibility of communication, of having a reality and conviction, they are quite shy of it, they are afraid of it. It is all so stupid. I do not understand why people should be like that. It is extraordinary to me. The church, my own church that was the Catholic Church, the whole basis of its fundamental teachings, when you think of all the saints, all the people who were transported, who were uplifted, and who had mental and spiritual communication, and the things that they have written, the things that they have done and achieved, it is all basically the same as this, but they just don't understand or accept it. They seem to be so afraid to acknowledge anything that does not happen within their own church, which is so stupid. Anyone would think that knowledge ceases outside their own faith, whereas the very faith and the knowledge that they have is based on the people who in the early days of Christianity experienced these things before there was an orthodox or a religion as such in an ordered way or manner. I do not understand why there is this prejudice. It does not matter who you think about of any consequence, who was outstanding in their time and age, who was attached to any particular religion for that matter, that did not have these psychic and spiritual experiences. The very foundation of the teachings, the very foundation of the whole teaching of the church is this. And yet there is this opposition, this fear. It seems to me that there seems to be this fear that people will stray from the fold of the church, whereas if the church was to expound these things and to give the opportunity to the people for proof and the evidence, in other words, if they were to develop their own instruments and mediums, they could do such good, such wonderful work could be achieved. It's this dreadful fear, this fear of evil, it seems to me is one of the great mistakes too with people. One should not fear evil, one should realize that it is something there to be fought, to be combat with, but at the same time to accept and to know that we learn. Out of evil cometh good. It seems to me that you must learn, you must make mistakes before you can hope to learn. It's like a child, he does all sorts of stupid things, but he learns from those stupid things. A child will perhaps do something very foolish, hurt itself, because it does not realize the dangers, but it soon realizes the dangers and then avoids them. I don't know why the church is so stupid in this respect, that it will not encourage people to seek, it will not encourage people to endeavor. Everyone must learn and everyone must make mistakes. The early members of the church made dreadful mistakes. People don't even know about this, but some of the great prophets and the teachers, they learned by experience. But as they evolved, so they knew what to avoid and what to welcome and what to achieve and how to achieve it, you know. It's extraordinary to me there should be this prejudice.
Well, it's always been so. I think the church are afraid of people straying away from it.
But the church is not a building, it is not an organization, it never was intended, it should be. That's another thing, you see. That is where the church has made a great mistake. It is becoming, in a sense, rather material in its idea and conception of things. It wants to hold. That isn't the idea of Christianity. It isn't a matter of holding people. It is a matter of giving. It is a matter of welcoming. It is a matter of brotherhood. It is a matter of individuals collectively thinking and doing the work of God in the way in which it is intended, not tying them down or fettering them or chaining them. If one person has a little more insight and knowledge and experience than the rest, that person should be welcome and encouraged to impart their knowledge, to teach and to uplift others. It seems to me that the church wants to confine and not only confine individuals and peoples, but it wants to hold them in a sort of grappling, as if they are grappled and cannot be freed. The idea of the church in that respect is all wrong. If the church is not free, if it is not free in the sense that it allows people to think, it allows people to experience things, in other words, if it tries to hold them down, it is not good. It must always be free, it must always be open, it must always be ready to pursue new avenues of thought and to accept new knowledge and experience which will benefit and build and help the peoples of each generation to understand and to know this truth. You cannot just live on something that is dead. You've got to live on something that is living, all the time, alive, vital. That is what true Christianity should be. Not clinging to outworn ideas, often which have been proved wrong. The fundamental truths of Christ, the fundamental truths of the Church are good. But there is so much nonsense, so much has been built around them, so many complications have been added which confuse and do not help. I think if only the church would develop its own instruments and mediums within the church, it could do great things, wonderful things. But they seem so afraid. It's always this dreadful fear. Why there should be fear, I don't know, because if you have faith and you have knowledge of these things, if you realize that God is the creator of all things, that Christ came to show the way, that he showed the path of illumination, and he himself said greater things than these should you do. In other words, if we can emulate Christ, which is after all what a Christian should be, emulating him and trying to become like him and to do the things that he said we should do, the church does not necessarily do these things. It certainly does not emulate Christ, as it seems to me that many people fail utterly, and some do not even try. And then again, they certainly do not try to emulate the spiritual faculties or develop those faculties that Christ developed and the disciples knew of and to some extent developed. In other words, it seems to me that the church is more basically, without possibly fully realizing it, material rather than it is spiritual. It seems to me the church is turning its back, or has turned its back, on the truths, the fundamental truths, and is living now, as it were, more or less, you might say, on the old ideas which themselves often have been proved wrong. You can't live like that. You cannot have a living thing that is just based on mysticism without any substance. You must have substance, and the real spiritual substance is there if people will look for it. It seems to me that the church has lost its way.
Yes, I think so too.
But it is going to be very difficult to make church people, or people who are so-called religious, understand this. They don't like easily to give up something they've clung to for so long, even if they themselves begin to doubt it and wonder if it is always what they think it is or what they would like it to be. In other words, people themselves individually are often very doubtful of the church's teachings, and sometimes they do things automatically without little meaning, and possibly they have very little faith in it. But until the church itself begins to develop and begins to seek and begins to do something, it seems to me that it must start from the top. Individuals here and there, no doubt, are endeavoring to see and to understand things, but the power of the church frightens me, because it is not, as I see it, a spiritual power, which it should be, but more of a material power, a power over people's minds and actions. It doesn't give them the freedom to think, and a thing that is not good surely is when a person is not given the freedom to think for themselves and to seek for themselves. The church should encourage freedom of thought, but it stultifies and nullifies, it seems to me, and it stifles people, which is bad. It is worse in the sense the Middle Ages were dreadful, but I don't know, it seems to me that the church has stood still. That is a great pity. I think the church is to blame for a great deal of the ignorance in regard to spiritual things, whereas of course it should be the advocate and the light in the darkness of the world, but it seems to me to obscure rather than often to help, and frightens off a lot of people that might be interested and would probably seek, and those that have already been accepted are held there by fear, as it were, rather than by love. They do things in an automatic way. Things must not be done. You cannot do things that way. It seems to me there must be freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of thought, freedom to seek, and freedom, when you are found, to give it out and to express it. If only the people would realize the power of the Spirit, which is all around and about, waiting, bursting to come out, you know, into the open. But people suppress so much that they should welcome. It is a great, great pity to us. We feel very sad about it, you know.
Yes, sir.
But what can one do? One can only keep on trying. But I just feel that it's a pity that in the church there is not more desire for knowledge, much more, not more activity in this direction. They just go on and on and on and on, century after century, without any fresh, new, vital knowledge and experience, which, after all, is there, which is waiting to be discovered, waiting to be given. But they're so afraid. They have this terrible fear. Why it should be based on fear? Anything that is based on fear is bad. Anyway, we can only hope and pray.
That's right. Something I was going to ask you, Rudy. When did you first get in contact with me?
Oh, that would be...
Now, did it come from this side, or after a time did you start looking for the people who are generally interested in you? How did it come about, this?
Well, it was some long time after my death I began to probe and to realize that I had lived before on various occasions on earth, and that various people had been and were associated with me, and that there was a link. And I was curious to find out, as far as possible, as many people who were associated and linked with me. And of course the medium was, and in consequence I found that you were too, as well as many others. Mm. And since some of you, many of you, are still on earth and are all associated indirectly or directly with this work, it was partly my job to try and bring you together, which I have done in some instances. So when I knew that it would soon be possible for you to come to London, I made the point of impressing you and guiding you here.
I
see. That's how it was.
No, I thought that was how it came about.
It is a long story. One day we must talk about incarnations, although a lot of people will never believe them or accept them. Anyway, I always look forward to coming to talk to you. I don't want you to worry. I want you to take care of yourself. I know you are very busy in many different directions, but that does not mean to say you must be foolish and overtax yourself. Sometimes you're too kind and too generous. That is very good, and I would not have you otherwise, but at the same time, I think it is wise for you to give yourself some leisure and rest. I don't think you have sufficient. I think in the summer, when the nice weather comes, that you should try to relax a little more than you do at times, and I do think you should try and have a holiday. I think your body needs it, you know. I think that you are tiring yourself out too much. You know, you can't go on and on indefinitely. Otherwise, if you do, you have a breakdown, you would not be able to do anything.
No.
You must consider yourself, or by all means consider other people, but remember and realize how much you can hope to do yourself. Not push yourself too hard, you know. It's very bad.
Yes, I know that.
Anyway, I must go. But all my love and blessing to you. And I hope tomorrow is a very happy occasion. And thank everyone for remembering my birthday.
Yes, dear. I will.
And thank you for the flowers.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye, lovely.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Arrivederci.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mickey.
More flowers.
Well, we've got to get some flowers.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
quite good.
Mm. Yes, they are.
What flowers?
6 years since tomorrow, since I've